Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. So happy to be with you on a Friday, and we're going to try something quite different the next 2 hours, and we'll see how it goes. We're really hopeful that folks will take advantage and call in. We're going to do open forum for people who are coming into the church. That is, if you're getting ready to receive the sacraments and come into the church at the Easter Vigil, and you'd like to talk about something, review something that you went over in your RCIA class, or just have a question in general, like something cleared up. Maybe you'd like some help explaining something to family members. You are welcome to call 888-318-7884. So we're holding the phones this hour for those who are in RCIA. And I guess not everyone who's coming into the church at Easter is in RCIA. People, some parishes have other ways of doing that. So always, you know, if you're coming in, if you're getting ready to come into the Catholic Church, this hour is for you. 888-318-7884. And we have a super apologist. And I know that because he wears a cape. He's the proprietor of Philosophy for the People on the internet, and also an affiliate apologist at Catholic Answers. Pat Flynn, thanks for being with us, Pat.
It's a pleasure, Cy. Long time no talk.
Well, actually, like 24 hours, I think. Didn't I speak to you? Was that some other Pat Flynn?
The irony was not detected, or at least the sarcasm.
Oh, I'm so slow. I'm always frustrating people with not picking up on the signals. But Pat, first of all, did I say, is it right, affiliate or associate? What are we supposed to say? I can't remember what the term.
I believe my position is affiliate apologist.
Affiliate apologist. Okay. Which is really good for us, because as people who have been listening to the Focus podcast know, we've done, we did a focus on, are you living in a computer simulation with Pat, and we've got more coming up, and then we get to have you on the live show. One of the cool things about Pat for this hour is he himself is a convert to the Catholic faith and went through the RCIA process. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Pat?
Yeah, certainly. Well, I was baptized Catholic. I grew up in a very nominal environment, nominally religious. So I had your first grade Sunday school catechesis, mm-hmm. You know, pretty typical story. And I'm also your typical story in as much as a little bit of philosophy and a little bit of science brought me away from faith. I had my first initial serious doubts in early middle school. And then I became very interested in philosophy in high school. But it was all this sort of old atheists and existentialists who got their hooks in me. So they dragged me into a very atheistic, naturalistic paradigm for many years. But as I thought through that more systematically, as I put that under scrutiny, that fell apart. I decided to reconsider my philosophical options. Christianity wasn't the first thing I was thinking of at the time. I had a decent bias, I guess, against Christianity back then. But I began reading many of the great traditional thinkers, Plato, Aristotle. Eventually, I did find my way to St. Thomas Aquinas and the school of Thomism in general. And I found it to be extremely philosophically satisfying. It answered a lot of the difficult questions I never really found great answers to, and it did so systematically, questions about meaning, purpose, morality, destiny, identity, and of course, God. But you can't spend a lot of time in those circles without bumping up against Christian commitments and Christianity. So eventually I became more curious in that and wondered, is there some basis here? Is there a historical basis for Christianity? And I was surprised, remarkably so, to see that there was not just a basis, but a quite strong basis for the core claims, not just of Christianity, but the Catholic Church as well. So pretty early on, once I started looking into early Christian history, it seemed to have a pretty distinctively Catholic character to it. So pretty early on, I was veering towards the Catholic Church, and my wife, who you've talked to before, Cy, you know, she was never baptized. She grew up in an agnostic household. She had a sort of parallel conversion to me, unique in its own respect, but, you know, running side by side. And eventually we wound up in RCIA together.
Wow.
So I've been through the RCIA process, know it, and was brought into the church fully from there.
Mm-hmm. If you want to talk with Pat about anything, if you're in the RCIA process right now, if you're heading towards the sacraments, we'd love to talk with you. You can tell us what brought you into the Catholic Church as well, if you'd like. 888-318-7884, although you're certainly not obligated to tell us anything. If you got a question, we'd love to answer it. 888-318-7884. You can choose Pat to answer your question or me. If you choose Pat, you get the right answer. If you choose me, well, you don't know. You're never going to be sure whether that was the right answer or not. 888-318-7884. Did you have a sense that coming into the Catholic Church is going all the way? That it seems to me that sometimes people have this, like, maybe I'll dabble around the edges of Christianity, or I'll go this way, or even to the depths of Orthodoxy. But somehow, if you go to the Catholic Church, that's like you've swallowed the whole thing, hook, line, and sinker.
Yes, I did not just have that expectation. I had that fear, because it probably won't surprise anybody to hear that I was living a very secular life for a long time, according to a very secular ethic. And it did seem obvious to me from the beginning that if I was going to believe the core Catholic claims, including indefectibility and authority on faith and morals, that this wasn't something that I could just kind of dip my big toe into.
Oh, yeah.
It was something that if I really think this is true, then I have to give the whole of everything that, not just that I have, but that I am to this. And that was a really scary thing. One is because I didn't know if I could just do it, but by God's grace, I became so convinced of the efficacy of grace in my conversion process. But also there were social considerations. You know, most of my friends were not religious people. A number of them were quite religiously antagonistic. And so I had those concerns too. You know, what's going to happen with my friend groups and my social activities? And to be perfectly honest, some of those did fall away, and we did have to part ways. But many of them remained and were strengthened, and there's been much fruit born from that. And then, of course, many new friendships, many really virtuous friendships, have been formed since then as well. So yeah, I think I saw the consequences pretty clear up front, and it was an intimidating thing. But I didn't see any other option. If this was true, it seemed
you were going all the way in.
You had to go the whole hog with it, right?
888-318-7884. If you are coming into the Catholic Church at this sacraments this Easter, it's open forum for you. You can call and ask whatever you like. If you got an observation you want to share and you just want to get Pat's take, you can do that. We just want to talk with people who are coming into the church. And Pat, we got callers on the line. I think it'd be a good time to start. You want to take a call?
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Everyone always says yes. I wonder what I'm going to do the day when someone goes, no. No, I don't feel like taking a call right now.
I can test that hypothesis.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. Mary in Michigan, listening on Ave Maria Radio. We're super glad you're here, Mary. Please go ahead with your question for Pat.
Thank you. My granddaughter is coming into the church, and she's a young woman, so she's a teenager, and she's been taught she's a girl. She can do anything she wants. So at Ash Wednesday Mass, you know, I was explaining to her what we were doing, and she turned to me in mid-Mass and said, "Why don't I see any women priests?" And all of a sudden, my mind went blank, because theologically I could give her an answer, but then I thought, I better wait to get a better answer, because she doesn't understand. If she is a young woman, is told she can do anything, why can't she be a priest?
Yes. Yeah, that's a really great question. It's an important one. And it's also interesting to hear that you felt that you could give her a theological answer. And of course, there's many resources here on Catholic Answers of the biblical and traditional basis for why the priesthood is exclusively male. But I would want to say something a little bit more general, and that's try and maybe poke at the sort of underlying egalitarian assumptions behind this question. There is just sort of this prevailing cultural idea that everything has to be equal, or that we can do anything that we want. Well, I don't think that's right or true. I mean, I can't do many things that God has set up women to do, for example. Like, I can't carry and give birth to a baby. So it does seem like God has set up a particular structure in the world where men and women just have distinct, unique, and beautiful roles to fulfill. And God has given certain roles to women incredibly beautiful and important roles that only women can fulfill that I can't fulfill. My wife fulfills them perfectly, and I'm very glad that she does. And there are other roles that God sets up for men to fulfill. We're not just talking biological roles, but also certain spiritual roles as well. And so I guess my general, more philosophical point is, if you don't think that it's necessarily unfair that God set up distinct roles for men and women sort of at the beginning, then why do you think that it's unfair that God set up distinct roles as sort of time moved along, or as revelation came to play, or as the church structure established? And I would honestly just offer that as a question, to maybe just kind of probe to see if there's, you know, something deeper there. Do we really think that if things aren't perfectly equal, that there's some sort of injustice there? Because I think that can be strongly challenged. And I think if we did think that everything were equal, or if everything were perfectly equal, we'd actually live in a really boring world, and we wouldn't be able to help each other. We wouldn't be able to grow morally. We wouldn't be able to have really parental relationships and guidance and counseling and empathy and courage and all these other moral goods seem to require distinctness in roles, distinctness in structures, all these different things. So, you know, there's the typical way of approaching it from the scripture of the male priesthood, of it being a male priesthood. We see that through the tradition. It is what the church teaches. So if you obviously believe in the authority of the Catholic Church, this is something that has been clarified again and again, that the priesthood is restricted to men. But I find in conversations like these, it's often helpful to go a little bit deeper and not just do the theological response, like you said, but maybe is there some sort of deeper assumption here, like in egalitarianism, that maybe we could poke at a little bit. How do you think about that? How do you feel about that?
Oh, that's very good. That's very good. That's a better approach than what I would have done. And I got nervous and I said, you know, I'm going to dig a little bit so we can get the right answer. And she's like, okay.
Oh, what a.
And I thought, I'm calling.
That's brilliant.
That's a great relationship. Mm-hmm. How cool. Very, very good.
Thank you very much.
Well, Mary, thank you very much.
It was a great question.
If you mm-hmm. want to hang on the line, I'd like to send you a book that you might give to your granddaughter. It's called The Words of Eternal Life, True Happiness and Where to Find It. And it's the basics about being Catholic. And perhaps she would enjoy getting that book. If you want it, hang on. We'll send it to you. I got to go to the break now. Our guest is Pat Flynn. It's an open forum for those in the RCIA process. If you're coming into the Catholic Church, then you are welcome to call with any question you've got. You got something you'd like help with, you'd like to help someone else with a question. Often when you come into the Catholic Church, there are tons of questions that the family wants answered or the friends want answered. Any of that is welcome. 888-318-7884.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Beyond Damascus with Dan Demite and Aaron Richards is our show for young adults.
Everybody's talking about encounter. Everybody's talking about that mountaintop experience. What we fail to often talk about is what happens after. What happens beyond that Damascus moment?
Jesus Christ is calling all of us to be missionary disciples, disciples of Jesus who are on mission to bring the kingdom of God here and now on this earth.
Beyond Damascus with Dan Demite and Aaron Richards, tomorrow at 8 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Pat Flynn is our guest. You can find him at Philosophy for the People. Just put in Philosophy for the People into your machine and it'll take you there. Pat, your wife, Christine, has got a book coming out for us in I guess the fall probably.
Yes.
What about you? You got any books? Got any cool books you want to tell us about?
Got a book coming out with you guys at some point. I'm writing it with Dr. Gavin Kerr. It is tentatively titled Aquinas' little-known way to God, and we focus on one of the arguments he made for the existence of God when he was a younger lad. I believe he was around 29 or 30, in a work called De Ente et Essentia, on being in essence. Huh. And what we argue is this is a good argument when it's properly understood, and you should understand this argument first before you try to understand the five ways, because it sort of gives you a philosophical lens to interpret and unify all the five ways once you understand this one first. So that's the project we've been working on.
A little bit of the young Aquinas. Very good. Before he was cool, before he was well-known, before everybody was into Aquinas.
Yeah, this is like his...
The early days.
This is the album that true fans know.
That's the way we... It's questions for RCIA, folks. If you're coming into the Catholic Church and you have a question, we would love to get you an answer. 888-318-7884. We go now to Jeffrey in Erie, Pennsylvania, listening on the Station of the Cross. Glad to have you, Jeffrey. Go ahead with your question for Pat Flynn.
Hello, how's it going? I just want to let you know, first of all, I am simply considering entering the Catholic Church. I'm not in RCIA yet.
Well, do you mind if we try to change that?
Sure.
Okay,
go
we're going to do our best, Jeffrey.
All right. Now, here's my question. Why hasn't religion embraced evolution as God's design in order to bring species about? I mean, evolution has been more than proven many times over now. You know, it's like, but religion seems to want to call it just a theory, but like, they don't call Einstein's relativity just a theory. And like,
wait, what do they call it?
My friends have always told me, well, they they call it the law of relativity. I mean, yeah, it's a theory, but they accept it as law. Whereas evolution, they always fight against. And I don't understand that. You know, my friend once told me, oh, it's because God created the world in 7 days. But 7 days could be seven, to God, could be 7 billion years to us. You know, I'm just curious what the Catholic Church's view is on this.
Great,
well,
Jeffrey.
Well, Jeffrey, I think the Catholic Church is going to be just the place for you, my friend, because it is not only not against evolutionary theory. In fact, the Magisterium in recent times has seemed to issue something of a fairly strong endorsement of it. And this was, I'll just give you a little bit of personal background. You know, I'm a convert myself. And for me, if there was any, I thought, true religion, it would have to be compatible with what I believe was the best of contemporary science. And I'm with you. I think there's a lot going for evolutionary theory. So when I was sort of looking through the different options, if you will, religious options, Christian and otherwise, the different denominations of Christianity that would seem to commit me to denying outright evolutionary theory or even the age of the universe were somewhat off the table for me. Because I felt I just had this expectation that God wouldn't make me choose faith or reason or faith or science. And this was really appealing to me about the Catholic Church, because as I read through the tradition and, of course, magisterial statements on this, and I would encourage you to do this as well, Jeffrey, to read the Catholic thinkers on this. There is very much an acceptance of evolutionary theory broadly considered. You know, there's certain aspects that have to be qualified, such as that God really does infuse a unique individual soul in every human person, but that it is perfectly consistent to believe that, as you said, Jeffrey, God can use the evolutionary process to guide about the different species leading up to that point where he infuses those unique human souls. So if that's what you're looking for, I think you're on the right path. I think you're going to find exactly what you want in the Catholic faith.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was trying for. Yeah. So I thank you for that. And I've got a ton of questions, so I'm sure you'll be hearing from me in the coming weeks.
You know,
please,
what?
You're
such
touch.
You're such a good-natured guy, Jeffrey, and I do really want to try to convince you to get into the Catholic Church. Go ahead. Give him your second question.
Okay. So if God infuses a soul, and I don't know what the Catholic Church is view is on, like, you know, past lives, and, you know, does the soul survive past the afterlife or whatever, but how do new souls come into existence? It's just God creates them?
That's correct. God creates each unique individual soul, you know, presumably at conception, right? We can kind of leave maybe some of the scientific details open, but there is no, in the Catholic tradition and Catholic understanding, we don't have a pre-existing soul. Right. So we are created at conception. And then to answer your other question, the Catholic tradition does have a very robust conception of the afterlife. So death is not the end for us. You know, we have a full sort of eschatology, if you will, of what life after death possibly looks like. So yeah, no, reincarnation is not on the table for Catholics. We do have the unique creation of individual souls by God and the endurance of individual souls after death as well.
Okay, cool.
Jeffrey, we're here all the time.
You guys have been very helpful.
Well, Pat
good
has.
Questions,
I have.
Jeffrey.
But call back anytime you want. Jeffrey, we look forward to talking with you again, okay?
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. It's open forum for folks in the RCIA. And Jeffrey's perfectly fine. If you're just considering coming to the Catholic Church, we'd certainly love to talk with you. But if you're on your way into the Catholic Church and you've got a question, maybe it's a question that you know the answer to, but you'd like to some help talking to somebody else about it, or maybe it's just a question that still is with you as you approach the sacraments at Easter, give us a call, 888-318-7884. Our guest is Pat Flynn. He's the proprietor of Philosophy for the People, which they keep it on the internet. That's where I find it anyways. Do you keep it anywhere else?
We keep it right on the internet, right on YouTube, Si.
Yeah, I thought that's where I'd seen it. Mm-hmm. I spend too much time there on the internet. Pat in New York City, watching on Facebook. Go ahead, Pat, with your question.
Oh, hi. So I'm an RCA instructor myself. And
God bless you.
For a few years. And so my question is about the process, about the classes, the materials they use, the rituals, and if you liked it, if it made sense to you now that you're on the other side. And also, more specifically, what do you think goes into the formation of a good RCIA instructor?
Yeah, wow, really good question. Well, I was only through the process once, and I haven't taught it. But let me ask you a question. Are you using a curriculum right now, or what does the process look like on your end?
We've used Symbolon for the last 3 or 4 years, from the Augustine Institute.
Okay, yeah, I think that's a really good option. I would also recommend looking at the Thomistic Institute. I know they have a full RCIA curriculum. Now, I think it always depends on the audience. You know, when I was in RCIA, I had a lot of very deep questions, right? Very deep philosophical questions. But I also kind of realized that a lot of those probably wouldn't be the types of issues discussed at RCIA because many of them were very technical and obscure. Obviously, I think it's important that you get the basics down, that people are clear on what the Catholic Church teaches, what are the fundamentals of the faith, what are the commitments here, everything from sacraments to justification, all that. I think it is also important in our context, in our cultural context, however, to at least occasionally flex the intellectual muscle of the Catholic faith, to have some sort of apologetic element in an RCIA program. You know, even if it's just an introductory element, say, to reasons for reasonable belief in the existence of God and the core claims of Christianity, whether the resurrection, well, obviously the resurrection, but also the core claims of the Catholic Church, that Christ did not just leave us with a Bible, but he left us with a hierarchical sacramental authoritative institution. So I would emphasize that atop of teaching the core components of the Catholic faith, that you do have some sort of apologetic element in your RCIO program. And I'm sure there's plenty of resources here at Catholic Answers that can help out with that. Is that starting to answer your question, Pat?
Oh, yeah, sure. Something we do is we bring in Catholics to accompany some of the people. Sometimes they're actually the sponsors for their baptism or confirmation. And sometimes I plant questions in them and say, give me this question to challenge us. And then they throw out the question, and it's a challenging question. We try to do apologetics that way by example.
Yeah, and there was a caller earlier, and and she had a beautiful response. And you might see me give this response here later today, is if you don't know the question, that's okay. But always tell somebody, I'm going to look into it, or I'm going to try and find somebody who does have the answer to this question. I think it's really, really important to never just bluff something or to make something up, because that's one, that's dishonest, but it can actually cause more harm down the line. Plus, people, I think, will appreciate your sincerity and your care to want to take something of theirs that is an important question and spend the time researching it for them and finding resources that might be helpful for them. In fact, I have to do this with my kids often. Sometimes I'm never on the hot seat more than when my kids ask me very tough right. philosophical and theological questions. I often have to say, that is a great question. I do not know the answer to that, but let me go research it and I will get back to you.
And then he calls Catholic Answers Live and Jimmy gives him the answer.
Right. Yeah. I know who to punt to.
That's right. Pat, thanks very much.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. The number is 888-318-7884. Three of the six lines are open. So if you are in the RCIA or thinking about coming into the Catholic Church, if you are preparing for the sacraments at Easter or thinking that one day you would like to receive the sacraments, possibly, then you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. I thought this would be kind of a fun thing to do. And so far I have enjoyed it very much. I hope you have, Pat. Talking
yes, sir.
To folks coming into the church. So I hope you'll avail yourself of this opportunity to ask whatever question you've got. Maybe you have a misgiving if you want to share that, or maybe you need help answering someone else a question about the Catholic faith. 888-318-7884.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com. Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
How much do you use social media?
We'll talk about that Monday on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
On most of these EWTN stations.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. A little bit of an experiment for us today, but one that I'm very happy that we have endeavored upon, because we thought, you know, it's coming up on the time when folks are coming into the church to receive the sacraments. It's a very exciting time of the year, but also, you know, Pat, you went through the RCIA, your wife went through the RCIA, my wife went through the RCIA, and one of the things that's quite noticeable, at least I found it noticeable when my wife went through it, is that among the people preparing to receive the sacraments, as the date gets closer, some have intense anxieties. They can feel a kind of opponent, that there's some kind of spiritual opposition.
Spiritual warfare, absolutely. And, I felt it myself.
It's important. Oh, you did? Okay. So I think it's important to let people know, well, that might be coming, and you're going to be fine. You're going to get through it. But well, let's answer those questions.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
All right, let's go to Evansville, Indiana. Jim in Evansville, Indiana, watching on Facebook. Jim, thanks for the call. Go ahead with your question for Pat Flynn.
Yeah, my question is, you know, obviously I'm about almost a couple of months away from coming into the church, but I was wondering if I would be allowed to get the sacrament of the anointing of the sick before coming into the church.
Are you sick? Are you in grave illness at the moment?
Well, I've got heart disease and diabetic and things, so I do struggle, you know, and I went before I, you know, entered into any kind of RCIA, I had a priest who did give me that, and the priest at my parish now is saying differently, so I didn't know which way to think about it. You know, could I do it or could I not do
so it? So I'm just getting clarification for Pat to help him give you an answer. But when you say you're coming into the church, you were baptized in another church?
Yes.
I see. So the priest previously gave you the anointing because he knew that you had been baptized. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Pat, any thoughts?
Well, it's a little out of my wheelhouse. So the first thing I would say is, as I indicated, is that baptism is a door to all the other sacraments. So if you had not been baptized, then the answer is no, but you wouldn't necessarily need the anointing of sick. You could just get baptized. If you are baptized, that is a matter that I'm actually not entirely clear on. Sai, do you know the answer to this one, if you can get the anointing of the sick if you're already baptized?
I would think that I don't actually know the answer, no. But I mean, it sounds like neither do the priests, since one priest says yes and another priest says no. So my assumption would be, certainly in the circumstances of imminent death, you can be anointed, absolutely. If you believe what the Catholic Church believes and you want it, then you can have it as long as you've been baptized. If you were not baptized, what Pat is saying, I think, if you were not baptized, you would not need the anointing of the sick. You would ask for baptism at the point of dying, and then you would have what you need. But I really don't know about this. If you feel that you are in any way in danger of death, and if you're not satisfied with the answer that the priest is giving you, I would call the diocesan chancery and ask to speak either. I mean, if it's a small diocese, maybe the bishop will be able to speak with you. And if not, then the chancellor of the diocese, and just tell them your situation and ask them for their advice. Because it's not a situation that you would, I mean, in God forbid that you should die before you receive the full entry into the church. You would want to have the sacraments, certainly the anointing. So I can't be much more help to you than that, but I would suggest you call the diocesan chancery. I think they will help you with this, Jim.
Well, I know that, you know, I called into the program the other day about being able to go to confession and talked with my priest, and he said, yes, if you've been baptized under the Trinitarian baptism, that yes, you can.
Right.
So I was thinking that, well, if I could do that, then I should be able to do the other.
But he said no.
Well, he did previously before I told him that I'd been, you know, baptized. And
all right.
And so, well, I don't know for sure how he would react now.
Anointing is actually, in a certain sense, one of a pair of sacraments. Just like baptism and confirmation are a kind of a pair, confession and anointing are kind of a pair. One completes the other one in a certain sense, but in a certain sense. And so I don't know. If you can receive confession, maybe you can receive the anointing before receiving the Holy Eucharist.
Yeah. Yeah, they're getting ready to start this here pretty soon. So, you know, the reason for my call is, you know, if I can, I definitely need it because, you know, the question is asked if I was in any grave, you know, danger, you know, with heart disease and diabetes and things, those are possibly, you know, grave situations.
Sure.
I mean, depending on, you know, how your body reacts to those things. And so I live every day with the realization that, one or the other could take over.
Right.
And I just want to make sure that I'm covered.
Yeah. Well, I mean, certainly in the sense of that you are a member of the faith and you've received your baptism and confession, you are. But if I were you, I would just call the diocese, call the diocesan offices and ask if, as I said, if it's a small diocese, the bishop might be able to speak with you. If not, then there'd be somebody there that can talk with you about those sacraments. And I think that's about as much as I've got, Pat. How much you got? Anything else?
That's exactly what I think is right. Yep.
Do you know that as an affiliate, maybe you don't know this, but nobody here ever says I'm exactly right about anything. You're the first apologist.
I'm trying to get on your good side.
Oh my gosh. Can we promote him from affiliate to like chief of the apologists? I like that.
Flattery will get you everywhere.
Jim. Thanks. I'm sorry we were more helpful, but I do think that just call the diocese and see what they say. I'm going to go to leaving Indiana with Jim, going to Indiana in Salem, Oregon, listening on Modern Day Radio, Indiana. Thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for Pat Flynn.
Hi, Cy. Okay, anyways, so this question is not for me. It's for somebody who is in prison. So my question is, this person had been baptized when he was like 4 years old, but he hasn't received any other sacraments. So I was wondering, does he have to go to RCIA to receive those, or is there like a special something for people who have already been baptized? And can they do RCIA or get a confirmation and all that in prison, or does he have to wait until he's out of prison to do those?
Great questions. Quick responses. No, if you have been baptized, you do not have to go through RCIA. I was in that position myself, but I wanted to go through RCIA. It was a very enriching process, and I'm very glad that was the case. So the answer there is no, it's not mandatory. And I would sure hope that he can get the rest of the sacraments in prison. That's sort of the church's mission territory, yeah. Isn't it, Cy?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I know
God bless him.
Here in San Diego, there's been a tradition of the bishop actually on Easter Sunday confirming prisoners. So I know that here in our diocese, we've had that. So somebody must be preparing those prisoners to receive their sacraments, but certainly— we're not a very good Catholic church if we're not getting the sacraments to people in prison. So I would, one way or another, yes, he should be able to get the sacraments.
Okay, I was just wondering because I know that like with marriage, you have to be inside a Catholic church to get married. So I was wondering if that was the same type of like rule, if it was the other sacraments.
I don't think so. There's problems particular to marriage if you're in prison. That's a whole unique set of problems.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, you guys. I really appreciate it.
It was nice talking with you, Indiana. Thank you very much.
San Diego weather.
Why do you say that with such resentment? All right. We got to take a quick break. Right back with more questions for Pat Flynn. If you're in the RCIA or if you're in any other way coming into or towards coming into the Catholic Church, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley of the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
One of the reasons we should go to Mass is because, if you look in the Catechism, you will see the fruits of Holy Communion. And these are remarkable things that we can receive at every Mass that we attend. We encounter the risen Lord, and He shares something of His divine life and love with us.
The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, live from the EWTN Chapel, every morning, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio and Television.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Ever start on a little experiment and it just turns out really, really well? That's what we're doing today. We decided we wanted to do an open forum for those who are coming into the church or are approaching the church or are considering approaching the church. So, it's open forum for those in the RCIA, but there's all kinds of ways that people come into the church. So I don't want to exclude anyone. And Pat Flynn, who is himself a former RCIA-er or I don't know what you call that. Former.
Yeah, that works. Is that, I like that.
Pat, you're so easygoing on me today. He's here to answer your questions. If you've got questions about the Catholic faith and you are in that situation, give us a call. Let's go to Christina in Vancouver, Washington, listening on EWTN Radio. Christina, we're happy to have you. Go ahead with your question for Pat.
Hello. My husband and I are going to be joining the church here this Easter Vigil.
Congratulations.
God bless you.
Thank you so much. We've had a very wonderful RCIA experience. All of our RCIA directors and teachers, and they've all been just so wonderful and given us really wonderful information. So this question does not dissuade us or me personally from joining the Catholic Church. So it has no real leaning on that. But it's just something that I've been wondering throughout my journey is, from my understanding, from what I've researched, marriage doesn't exist in heaven. And this is something that I've prayed a lot about because I don't want to idolize my husband or make it seem like I don't want to be in heaven without him as my spouse. But it is something that I do struggle with. And it is something that, you know, I wonder about. So I want to know what your guys' thoughts are on that.
Great question. I wondered this myself because I love my wife so much and I like being married to her. And it sounds like you have a similar feeling, huh?
My husband's the most wonderful man.
Right. So of course we want to stay with them. So here's, your research is correct. There's not marriage as we understand it in heaven, right? You have this famous biblical data where our blessed Lord was confronted with what was supposed to be a real stumping question about what to do with if you've been remarried or divorced and, you know, you have had, or if you've had more than one spouse, like who's going to be your spouse in heaven, right? And of course, what we hear is that we will be like the angels in heaven, that there is not going to be marriage in heaven. And our worry, and it's a good worry, is that there'll be a lack of a sort of intimate relationship and intimate union, especially with those that we love. And the right way I think about it is that heaven is never less than anything that we have that is truly good here. It's always infinitely more. So whatever we're going to have instead of heaven, even though we can't really comprehend what that is, we can rely on God's promise that it's going to be the most intimate loving union that could possibly attain within the inner life of the Trinity. And this is why I think when we think about the nature of heaven, we have to keep strongly in mind that heaven isn't just some place where we kind of continue along in a mode of being like we currently have. Rather, what heaven is traditionally understood is a participation in the divine nature. You have this sort of slogany line, you know, in the tradition that God became man so that man can participate in the life of God, can become God in a sense, in a qualified sense. And part of that, what I think is so beautiful about that is it's all about love. Because when you think about the nature of love, not only when you love somebody, do you sort of will what's good for them. That's part of the nature of love. You also seek union with them, right? A deep union and different kinds of union with different relationships, right? Like when I have my wife, there's a certain union I want with her. If I have my daughter Marin, who's very small and cute and pudgy, I just kind of like want to smash my face into her cheeks, right? Love seeks to not just will the good of something, it seeks to unite with something. And the promise of heaven is the deepest fulfillment of our sort of innate desires for perfect friendship, perfect home, perfect justice, perfect love. And that's had with this incredibly deep, mysterious on this side, intimacy and union with God that we all partake in. And it's communal. So whatever that is, yeah, marriage as we understand it will not be there, but we can bank on whatever is that we're going to have in heaven is infinitely better than what we have here. And I think that hopefully should be that alleviated my concerns anyways, because of course I love my wife and I want to be with her forever. But I think the promise is that something so much greater awaits us in heaven. Is that helpful at all, Christina?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that wonderful explanation. I'm very, very excited to enter into the Catholic Church. We're actually doing our rite of sending this Sunday, and it's just been such a wonderful experience. So
God bless you.
Makes me even more confident.
Wonderful.
Well, we're going to be praying for you. This is amazing. This is I always just love hearing things like that. So thank you.
Yeah, Christine, thank you so much. And I hope that our listeners will be encouraged to continue to pray for those coming into the church too. We will do that throughout Lent. And maybe we'll just do so a little bit more attentively, having heard these beautiful stories from folks. Christina, I hope you'll call us back after and let us know how everything went. I did want to say something to you real quickly for the benefit of those who might need to hear it. Christina has this wonderful experience of RCIA, but my experience, having worked in the Catholic Church for, I don't know, 102 years, I can't remember how long, but they're not all that way. Some people have a dull experience of RCIA, or they have people who they're not exactly sure what the agenda is. So I just wanted to see what your experience was. I mean, if you've found the same thing in your life as a kind of a Catholic speaker and whatnot, that just be encouraged. Even if what's being offered at your parish is somewhat broken, it's worth it.
It's so worth it because it's true. But you're right, Si. We need the right expectations. My RCIA, thank God, was very good. It was very rich. The community was great. It was very orthodox. Now, did it have as much depth on some of the issues that I would have liked? Not really, but I kind of expected that to be the case. So, you know, you have to, you know, continue your own, of course, journey on many fronts. So you do need to have the right expectations. But I also have many friends that had terrible RCIA experiences. One of my best friends, who's now the godfather of Marin, who I brought up, he was going to become Catholic, went to RCIA. It was such a terrible experience that he dropped out, and a fair amount of time passed by until he reconsidered it again, went to another RCIA, had a tremendous experience, and then he became Catholic. So, you know, I have a number of people who reach out to me, and it's wonderful. And they say they're going to join the RCIA, and if I think this is the right thing to do, and I always say yes, but then I kind of ask them, like, what parish is it? And then
exactly.
I quickly Google it and try and see what the reviews are. And I think it's like a ton of red flags. I might just want to give them a heads up, like, hey, you know, maybe don't put all your eggs in this RCIA basket, right? This is true. This is really good.
Right.
So just have the right expectations going in. And it's sad we have to say that, but that is
I just wanted to get
that.
That
is the case.
Yeah. Christina, thank you. Thank you again for that call. Let's go to Kathy in Weirton, West Virginia, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Kathy, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Go ahead with your question for Pat Flynn.
Well, I have a similar question that a previous lady broached, and it is that I have a grandson who was baptized Catholic. Then his parents left the Catholic Church, and now they're back to the Catholic Church, but he has not received any, pre-sacramental formation for communion and confession, and consequently, he sits in the pew during Mass, and waits for us to come back after we've received communion. And I asked him, I don't see him often, but I asked him, what do you want to do about Holy Communion? Do you want to receive Holy Communion? He said, yes. And I thought, well, golly, Nez, we've got to get this kid in there.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
Absolutely.
But, you know, he's got two, you know, most kids go to religious education for 2 years. And he's already 9, and so 2 years waiting till he's 11 is, you know, I think he really understands more than, you know, he would be put back with little kids, you know.
It's a difficult situation.
I don't know what to advise.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know what to advise his mother, you know.
Right. You're not the only family facing this one. What do you think, Pat?
Well, he doesn't have to go through RCIA, but he can if he's of the age of reason. If if he's younger, I would say. So we homeschool our kids, and we do our best to teach them the faith from a very early age. And of course, from a pretty early age, our kids were very eager to receive the sacraments. And so we talked to our priest about it, Father John, God bless him, wonderful priest. And he offered to just do interviews with our children to see if he felt that they were ready and mature enough and understood, because they were, you know, relatively young, and asked them just a series of different questions on the faith, which they passed. And this is all fairly recently. He was able to hear my daughter's first confession after that. So, yeah, what am I saying here? Have you talked to the priest, Kathy? Have you talked to the pastor? And what has his advice been on this?
Well, that's where I'm a little bit handicapped, because they live in Florida. I live in Wharton.
Oh, yeah.
So I see. Down.
Yeah. And, you know, and so now that I've heard some of you say, well, it doesn't have to be 2 years or, you know, years of faith formation, or it doesn't have to be RCIA. I mean, this kid can pick up flaws when people are talking about the faith,
yeah,
and say, oh, no, that's not what Jesus said.
No. Well, the thing about the doesn't have to do the RCIA is there. I mean, that doesn't mean that he doesn't have a pastor who won't insist on it, or a bishop won't insist on it. So it's one of those things where the judgment of the pastor or the bishop is going to be decisive. And in many cases, they make a very prudent decision, and they might say, look, he can, you know, do this or that, and we'll work it out. And sometimes, you know, like anybody, priests can be bureaucratic or whatever the hang-up is, and not work with the family. So I don't know what you'll find, but I'm with Pat. Explore it. The mom's got to just go to the pastor and say, what can we do? I'd like to do this. You know, I'd like to have him receive the sacraments as soon as possible, and I think he's ready. And yeah, see what can come from that.
Okay, I'll talk to my granddaughter about it. This is my great-grandchild.
Oh,
so I'll talk to my granddaughter.
You just sound
about
so young, Kathy. I thought it was, my bad.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm going to get down there shortly, and I'll be able to sit down and talk with my granddaughter. I have a good relationship with her.
It's funny, because in the United States, and you hear this from people in some other parts of the world, we tend to be kind of bureaucratic about these things. Whereas, I'll be honest with you, here in San Diego, because we're on the border with Mexico, I've known lots of families who have handled this problem just by going to see a priest in Mexico who will just take care of it for you. There's a different kind of spirit around the sacraments, one that's much more willing to kind of, you know, okay, the family has this or that situation. And I don't know. I mean, you know, every culture has its traditions and but I have known of, I'm going to tell you some stuff I probably shouldn't be saying, but I've known of monks in monasteries where the parents said, you know, the pastor won't do this. And the monk says, come on, bring the kid over and we'll take care of it. You know, and they do whatever instructions need. And so sometimes you got to be a little creative. I don't know if the family can get down to Cuba, but.
Well, you know, Cy, you bring up a good point. These questions are sometimes tough to answer because, sometimes the answer is technically no, they don't have to.
Right, right.
But if the pastor or the bishop is insistent, well, then that's the situation you're in.
Yeah.
And, you know, we want to be obedient in those situations. So even though technically maybe they don't have to, that still might be the thing that you should do in that situation as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm sure that, you know, with the if you're too loose about this, you're making mistakes. And if you're too uptight about it, you're making mistakes. But which one of us gets it right all the time? Certainly not me. And so sometimes in the case of your own child or grandchild or great-grandchild, even if you're a very young-sounding woman, you might have a great-grandchild, you just got to be the one that advocates. You got to be the one that finds the person who will help you do it. Pat Flynn, I wish we could talk for hours and hours. I wish you would be an affiliate of Catholic Answers and we could do this all the time.
Forever and ever.
Forever. Well, no, only until we die. Then all of our relationships change. Pat Flynn, tell people where they can find you again.
Philosophy for the People on YouTube, and my website is chroniclesofstrength.com.
Chroniclesofstrength.com, and do check out the Philosophy for the People on the YouTube. Hey, if you're on the line, stay on the line. We're going to continue. Pat's not going to be with us, but Jimmy Akin will be here, and we'll continue with Open Forum for those in the RCIA right after this.